Please welcome back with us today, Reverend Diane Scribner.
What a joy. Well, I was waiting to hear somebody unitize and make different words up for hallelujah, weren't you? Wow, that was powerful. Thank you, God. You know, as I begin today, it occurred to me this morning when I awakened, as I was awakening and stretching and then releasing into what my children and I call delicious time, you know, when all your cells are titillated and they just relax and you feel the presence of God. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can do it now if you want. Go ahead and stretch. And then, what came to me was that I realized this particular unity is built as, well, it is a symphony space, so it's a hall for performance. And it can feel sometimes in unities that have stages and there are chairs that, you know, they don't move and you're out there looking in one direction. It can feel as if what's happening is that you're here to listen to somebody else tell you something and that you're gonna get this fix and it's gonna carry you through the week. And that will be, you know, way, thank you God for church. And yet that's not what unity is about. So let's just accept today that we're sitting in this configuration and you're looking in this direction, and yet I am not your answer. For you have within you this divine presence by whatever name. You may say, oh, I'm filled with chi today, or I feel the prana of God moving through me, or the breath of the divine breathing me, breathing you, breathing me. Whatever name you use, often we'll call this presence, this essence, God. And so but that's just to give us a word to use so that we can explain something that is totally inexplicable. For the presence of God is in you, this invisible substance, this ubiquitousness. You know, you can call God all kinds of things, and yet God is not a thing, certainly not some anthropomorphic being moving through an intercessor to you. God is that presence and power in which you are made, the very image and likeness of God. And you travel at the speed and the frequency, the vibration, because we know this is a quantum world, right? We're clear on that. Whatever you do, whatever you think, it affects others, and others affect you. And so we're here to stand in that clarity, to live in that clarity, and to pray attention to our lives so that we can just be living in delicious time all the time. How do you say amen in New York?
Amen.
Oh, really? That's how you say it? Just like a few of you say it? And yeah. So let's, you really, to move at the speed of God is why we are here. Is that so?
Yes.
Amen. Thank you, God. So I'm just going to, from that knowing that unity is not here as a place that is the place you have to come to get God, but that you bring that divine presence here and you're inspired. And then when you walk through those doors, you are the very, every single person who passes you, every life form, no matter how slow those particles may be moving or how fast or the speed of the Holy Spirit is moving in you, and no one and nothing can ever separate you from the God of your being. So today I'm going to say to you that essence we have named as love. In the book of John it says, God is love. And that kind of capsulizes it, because we all know what the feeling of love is, don't we? Love is that, when you get into that meltedness of you, a vulnerable space, the permeability of yourself where something's coming toward you, some energy, and it may be an angry energy, it may be an upset energy, it may be a political energy, maybe an environmental energy, whatever it is, and you knowing yourself to be the prayer chaplain of your own life, you act as a spiritual matador, suck it in and let it go by. How about like that? Right? Like here it comes. Woo! And just whoa, let it go by. And it will, as all people who practice martial arts know, it will have its own life. And then it will just melt into its native nothingness. For all there is light. And there's no degree of dark that can be not be illuminated by the light, for that is the preponderance of life force itself. So I'm going to say that love, then, is the inexhaustible resource that's within you. And if God is the inexhaustible resource within you that can you can go to as source and it resources you every time you go back, then is that not so for every single living being? No matter what their name is, no matter what office they hold, every single being is filled with the light of God. Would we remember that? And let it overlight all those small places that we have held, those intractable opinions that we may even think is part of who we are. To let that go then is amazing. And what happens, I love this, what seems to happen is that when we focus on God, by whatever name, we focus on God, everything else just goes away, isn't that true? Because what we focus on expands. This is a very, it's not a unity, yes, of course it is unity principle, but it's not ours. Our teaching is an ancient compilation of teachings. It is practical Christianity so that we can apply it right here in our lives, right here, no matter what it is that you're moving through. So focusing on this love and what we sometimes forget frees us up to shine anyway. Love anyway. Care anyway. No matter what anyone else seems to be doing in our lives. There is a law, and it's the law of cause and effect, which says, you know, energy is, here's this energy that's being put out, and so the result is the energy that would be like it. And Jesus came, yes, to expose us to love, unconditional love, wherein he was present not just to people who were in the church and the synagogue, but to people who were on the streets. Jesus is the Jesus that I love is the Jesus, and I'm sure that you do as well, is the Jesus that is totally inclusive. No one is outside that love of God in what he taught us. And so this there is there then this grace, this amazing grace. Jesus was saying, that's the image and likeness of God that you were born into. And you, and you, and you. And no one is outside of that paradigm. So the spirit of love, what does it do? When we focus on it, it's a fascinating thing. When we exude it, we don't have to put words to it. I mean, the words are just from the alphabet that, hello, man created not so long ago. And it's different for every culture. It's not that. We don't have that verbiage for it. We just feel it. That's what the prayer chaplains convey. It's not the words, beloveds, and you know this is so, that you say when you make that monthly call. It's the feeling, the vibration that goes along those phone lines. And I personally have a prayer chaplain at Unity of Naples where I was the senior minister recently. They still call me once a month and I don't pick up. Because I want that vibration of that call to be on my phone, so at any time I want, I can listen to that message. I'm not saying don't pick up when your prayer chaplain's called. I'm just saying that that prayer, that holiness, that love of God is what translates, really and truly, that's the language that we all speak. So today we want to focus on how it is that we're made to walk on with confidence. The root word of confidence is in Latin is fidelis, with trust, with faith, with loyalty. The French look at that and bring it into a sense of veracity, the truth of our being. And it says in the Bible that the truth shall set us free. Now, the Bible is a fascinating book. It is the book that we use here in Unity when we look at collective human story, and we don't at all look at the Bible as, you know, like it's chronological history. It's not a chronological history book. It is, though, a collection of mysteries and dramas and story, and some of it is true history and some of it is not, but every one of those stories, were we to look at it as the story of our lives, because really, in truth, you are a walking Bible. No, anyone who sees you will feel the presence of God. And how are you being? Are you in your Old Testament? I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Are you being in your New Testament? You're like, woo, you know, love is God. Well, that's up to you. Because the truth is, if I say I can't, I cannot do that. Am I right?
Yes.
If I say I can do that, through the grace of God in me, I can do this. Am I right?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's what we're going to look at today. There's a story in the Synoptic Gospels. It's in the 14th chapter of Matthew. And it's about Jesus and the disciples. And what he walks on something, and we're all pretty impressed with this. What is it he walks on?
Water.
Everybody knows that. He walks on water. So when we look up water in the Revealing Word, which is our book that the Fillmores wrote with sort of the kind of a take on what common words mean, we see that water means a sea of thought. So there's a sea of thought. Jesus is right by the sea. And he has just been speaking to a group of people, a crowd that's called in the Bible, and he wants to disperse the crowd and says to the disciples, go on ahead. And what that meant was get in the boat and go out on the sea of the thoughts that you're thinking. Just go on out there. And I'll meet you on the other side. I'm going to go up the mountain and I'm going to pray, which doesn't mean necessarily that he went up a physical mountain. It means that he took time in with God. He went up that scale of consciousness, that spiraling spirituality, and this is the sign for Holy Spirit. If you'd like to do it, just don't whack your neighbor. Go ahead, you can do this. Go ahead. He went up the spiraling spirituality of consciousness to the place where he was one with God, and then he came down. But while he was coming toward the edge of the lake, he saw that the winds had picked up and the disciples were out there in their boat. They'd gone quite a ways out and the waves were huge. It's like, and now the disciples are in a sea of what? Troubled thought. Anybody here had any troubled thoughts? You know what I'm talking about. They're going, whoa, are you kidding me? I didn't buy a ticket for this particular ride. They told me the ferry was smooth, like that, you know. I thought this relationship was going to be, oh, yeah, we had all those things in common. That's where the disciples are. They're out there in the boat. And just before dawn, Jesus went out to them, it says in one of the translations, went out to them walking on the lake. And so he's walking through these huge troughs and waves. And the disciples saw Jesus coming and they said, what? Well, it's not a direct translation. But they said, what? And Jesus says, take courage. Take courage, which means courage, right? Take heart. Go to your heart. He's kind of saying, remember the truth. He says, it's just me. Don't freak out. That's in the Unity version of the Bible. Don't freak out, he says. And Peter says, Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water. Not swim to you. Not dive into the stuff that's going on. But tell me to come to you on the water. And Jesus says one word. He says, come. Tete, tete in Aramaic, te, come, tete, come, truly come. Bring all your thoughts, bring all your energy, and walk on the water. And then what does Peter do? He gets out of a perfectly good boat that is floating on the water, and he steps out. And does he sink? No. Because all he's focused on is this energy, this invitational energy that anyone, each of us, every one of us is built in the image and likeness of love itself, which always lightens us up. No matter what things are taking place that are heavy or seem to be, there seems to be too much liquid in the water. That's what he saw. Because he was keeping his head up while he was walking, and then he looked down. He looked at the level of the difficulty, the level of the problem, saw too much water in the water of the sea below him, and he began to sink. And he immediately cried out to Jesus, and Jesus reached out and brought Peter forth. And Peter knew that all things were possible. Do you know, do you remember that all things are possible for you? All things. It's like, yeah, except for that. All things are possible for you. But let's just look in a really practical Christian way about this. And this isn't about Christianity at all. It's just about being human. And we're humanly divine, or divinely human, if you will. Just in this life form for a bit, borrowing this. And there'll come the day when we'll unzip this misshapen suit we're wearing and step young and free into eternity. It's the way it is. Getting younger and younger. Let's look at the way that this must have come down, because Peter, got out of the boat, and can you imagine what he looked like? Focused, completely focused on what was this light of God. Completely focused on love. How did he look when he walked? Can you imagine? Did he look something like this? Do you see him rolling his shoulders back, heart akimbo, this lightness of being, going forward, knowing just this is all he needs to do just to stay in the presence of God. And in the moment he goes into "I can't," he puts his head down, which means he rolls his shoulders inward. His heart is protected. He's starting to feel limitations. You see? You see how simple that is? I want you to sit in "I can" posture. Move into I can do this. Even if you don't know how to do it, somebody knows how to do it. You can go to resources and find that. Sit in "I can do this. I can do this. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm here to rejoice and be glad in it. I can do this." So look, I'm looking at you, and you are all like this. Your shoulders expanded. Your field of energy expanded. Your auric field expanded. And even when you don't know, others around you will feel as if they can as well. It's amazing. I want you to sit in "I can't." Oh, God, I don't know how to do that. I've never done that before. Are you kidding me? Like, don't go into your chair, but you'll get real close. And just keep on here. It's like, just took water. I'm melting. Right. Come back into "I can." Come back into "I can." I can do this. I can do this through the power of God that moves in and through me. In the book of Hebrews 10:35, it says, "Do not therefore abandon that confidence of yours. It brings a great reward." I said I wasn't going to look at this clock, but I went off way off my notes. So what is that? What does that mean? Oh, it's not even moving. I asked Brett if 45 minutes would be fine, and he said yes. I want to share with you, the voice of God. Turn it on? I have to turn it on?
Do not turn it on. You said you didn't.
How do you turn it on? I'm trying everything I have. Oh, wow. It doesn't work. I just share with you a little brief story, and I'm really sharing this with you because I'm asking for your prayers. I have all older brothers. My next older brother was diagnosed with leukemia in January. Oh, this is so silly. Does anyone have a tissue? In January 22nd, my brother was diagnosed with leukemia. Thank you. And it's acute leukemia, and there's nothing cute about it. It is the worst kind of leukemia. And he was given 2 months to live, 2 to 3 months to live. He's still alive. That was January. He's gone through 3 chemotherapies, nearly died 4 times so far. But after he was diagnosed, they asked me, as the youngest in the family, if I would do the swab thing, the quadrant swab for DNA, to see if I was a stem cell match for him. And there are 100 chromosomal markers. You don't have to be the same blood type. And I am not only a DNA stem cell match for my brother, every one of our 100 chromosomal markers matches. So I was booked in. I went for a half-day physical at Dana-Farber in Boston, where he's being treated as a trial chemo patient now. And they said, oh, you're good to go. You know, this is fabulous. And so we were booked to do this after I walked the Camino in April. And I had all my things to go and my flight and flew it. And I got an email while I was in Spain that his leukemia had come back and he could not receive the stem cells. But I was still in prayer, still, you know, knowing that this could still happen. And then in June, right after the convention, after I had emceed with Sean, I was to go again to Boston. And each of these times I've packed for five, I think I packed this big honking suitcase with 50 pounds. I'm ready for anything. I got my parka, my trekking poles, and my shorts. And so I'm ready. And again, this time he got an infection in the hospital, which we are wont to do often in those situations. And so, no, it couldn't happen. Well, I'm supposed to be going next week, the third time it was scheduled, and it's been delayed again. But my brother's getting stronger. And what's really happened is this has helped him and it's helped me so much on just letting go, on not having to control our lives. Because we do not know, you do not know how God is working. God is moving you so that you will be shaped and formed and squeezed like the potter's wheel, you know. So that you will exude the light of the living Christ consciousness, the Buddhic nature of you. So that it will come forth, and that's all anything is ever designed to do. My brother has been just shown incredible bravery. I signed a paper that said if I die from getting all the injections and doing the bone marrow transplant, that would be fine, and you know what? It would. I told my brother, I will give you anything I have. You probably don't want the girl parts. I'm just thinking. But I'll give you anything I have, because the truth is, it's not ours to begin with. What is the truth is that we're given this presence, the one presence and one power in your life and in our universe, so that we will remember that, take it on, roll our shoulders back and say, whatever this is that's facing me, I can do this. You have an incredible team. God is the one source for you to go to, and that is manifesting and expressing and living as our brothers and our sisters. And now we communicate with them all the way across the planet. We know people we've not yet even met through affinity groups and chat rooms and Facebooking and things that are used. When they're used for good, there's such good coming forth. But all of this is meant to draw you into that place. I have been, during this process, I'll admit, I've been afraid. But in those times, what I remember is that FEAR, the acronym I grew up with in Unity, was very, I thought, clinical. False evidence appearing real. And I was like, okay, that works. You know, false evidence appearing real, but I'm like into paying attention to things and softening it. So what really works for me is forgetting everything's all right. I just notice that when I feel afraid, I'm just forgetting that everything's all right and that God is working through me. Fear is like a thin membrane in your life. That's all it is, nothing more. And when you, like bubbles, you know, bubbles, remember the bubbles, birthday bubbles, you know, when you like bubbles touch the membrane of fear, it pops. And what is within that experience is this amazing gift that God is giving you. You have all the tools you need to keep walking then with confidence. And so I would say to you today that if any bubbles of fear come into your life, or any bubbles of, I've never done that before, or any bubbles of, just show me where's the website for that, or I don't care what it is, just touch it. Pay attention to it. Doesn't mean you have to keep it. Doesn't mean it's going to stay longer. Just touch it with the love of God, moving at the speed of you, and see if you will not be lifted up in the name and through the power of the living Christ, this day proclaimed, every breath of the way. God bless you. With everything that has gone before this moment of sitting, and with everything yet to come, here I am. And I realize that in knowing and saying and thinking I am, that I'm actually putting you first in my life. I am that I am. So I thank you, God. I sit here today in gratitude because you are just this amazing life force within me. And you're constantly expressing through me, oh, would I align with you? Would I remember what I seem to sometimes forget? And so, beloved, as you sit now in this place, just relax. Soften your feet, move those digits we call toes. And just relax your feet, the ball of your feet, your ankles, your heels. Let your calves relax as you bless them. Thank you so much. And for these wondrous knees, these ball joints that give us the ability to pivot and turn and experience God everywhere. For these strong quadriceps, these muscles at the front of the upper leg and the hamstrings, the gluteal muscles that they're attached to upon which I'm sitting. Oh, I give thanks for this strong spine. Move your energy and focus up your spine and breathe the breath of God all the way past the mouth of God at the back of the head, up beyond your physical head. Breathe that breath right there. Let's bless the soft tissues in the abdomen, all these organs that do all these amazing things, and we don't even have to tell them how. Blessing now your lungs. Move up into this beautiful evergreening area of your heart, in that heart chakra. You may even feel God pulsing through you. As breath expands, your lungs and naturally contracts, the ebb and the flow. Feel now that strength of God as you do. Rotate your shoulders. Sit squarely in your seat in the way that's best for you. Feeling your triceps and biceps and the upper arms relax. Elbows, lower arms, your wrists. These digits we call fingers. Jesus said, the kingdom is at hand. So here in the very palm of what it is to be you, you can rest. As you allow your palms to rest now in your lap of luxury. It is the fathering, mothering presence of all things, the pleasure of everything that is, to give you the kingdom. And that's the consciousness that we hold in the gap between thoughts as we sit in meditation and prayer together. Peace, be still. And should any thought come or any person or situation, just let them go by. For it all came to pass. And you, beloved, oh, you're a Zen practitioner. As you sit and feel God breathing you, breathing God, breathing you. Oh, we're so grateful for this time of shared tranquility. And we can experience this in a nanosecond less. For there is, as Brent said earlier, no time, no space in God. It's Einsteinian truth that's always been. I see you taking this field, this Rumi-esque field, with you today. Walking with confidence today. Way beyond wrong thinking and right thinking, wrong doing and right doing. As you just know God is here. Every breath of the way. We thank you, God. Let's just whisper together, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Lift your voice just a little bit as we affirm together. Thank you, God. And now just lift it up. Just let it go. Expand your diaphragm. And let's say together, thank you, God. Together, thank you. Oh, let's do it again. Together, thank you.